Good for the opportunity to be able to minister God's word to you. And I pastored in Middleburg for 34 years and had been retired for 5 years. I can say that as Chip comes next Sunday, and he's your interim for a time. He was our interim when I retired, and God works just marvelously. I tell you, the way Chip and Margie went and attended Christian Family Fellowship over in Mandarin, and they were over there one day, and they happened to meet a man in the parking lot that was helping with parking. That man happened to have gone to our church many, many years ago, and he worked for CSX and moved away and then moved back and lives over this part of town, so he went to that church. He just happened to meet Chip, and then Chip, you know, he said, "You got to go see my buddy over in Middleburg, you know, Gary Schilling." And so Chip came over, and there was a connection. He was our interim for a year, and you're in store for a blessing. Chip and Margie are just as a former pastor here, Lloyd Powell. Some of you were here then, but he was, you know, one of my best friends. And he would say that Chip is top shelf. That's a term that Lloyd used to use, top shelf. And so we pastored 34 years in Warren, and God provided. God was so good through those years and just had blessed us. We have three children, and an older son and a daughter, and then a younger son that's 32. Oldest son is 46, and we have just been blessed. And we still go to that church, and God is blessing over there. This morning I wanted us to go to Matthew chapter 28. Matthew 28 and verses 16 through 20. Matthew 28, verses 16 through 20. It's interesting that Lorenzo read Romans chapter 20, chapter 8 and 28. And in verse 32 and following, it says, "If God had delivered up his son for us, will he not give us all things?" You ever think about that? What are the all things? Is it stuff? Certainly not. Not that he would just give us just stuff and material things. What are the all things there? And that's what I'm going to talk to you about. Give it hopefully a message that's very, very practical that you can take home and something you can apply to your life. If we just come here and I just talk, but I don't give you something you can use in a practical sense, then in a way that we've not really accomplished what the Word of God wants us to accomplish. The all things there are all that we get in Jesus. You know, it's all that he has supplied for us. I can tell you that in 40 years of ministry, I did not miss one Sunday in the pulpit. 42 years. Now, it's not because my health was better than other pastors who have missed a Sunday. That's not the case. There were some Sundays I didn't feel real good. There were some Sundays that I would have liked to stay home. Maybe I emotionally wasn't up for it, you know, or maybe we were going through some discouraging times. If you're in a pastor for 34 years in one church, I mean, there are highs and there's lows, and there's some difficult times that you go through. And some Sundays, maybe I didn't want to get up, you know, but every Sunday, God is faithful. Because when I get up, and this is a part what I want to talk to you about, I say, "Lord Jesus, I take you for today. I take you for the strength I need. I take you for what you call me to do." Those are the all things. He's all sufficient. He provides all of that. And so, when we think of Christmas, we think of the baby Jesus, we think of shepherds, and we think of the manger. Silent night, holy night, all is calm, all is bright. And now we're heading toward the Passion Week. We're heading toward Easter time. And we see the worst, the very worst of humanity unleashed against the one who is the most innocent, Jesus, who had never committed one sin. Jesus, who had never tried to get revenge with the Pharisees. Jesus, who was always compassionate, never sinned. And the heinous sinfulness of mankind was unleashed upon him in the worst way. And so we have these contrasts. The baby Jesus at the Advent, and then the Christ that we see that hangs on the cross. And so how do we justify these two things? Let's read in Matthew chapter 28, verse 16 through 20. Not many verses here, but I'm reading from the New American Standard Bible. But the 11 proceeded to Galilee, to the mountain which Jesus had designated. When they saw him, they worshipped him, but some were doubtful. And Jesus came up and spoke to them, saying, "All authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age." Back in 1934, Prince Edward, who was the heir to the kingship and the crown in in England, he went and visited a hospital, and there were 36 individuals in that hospital who had been ravaged by war. They had been wounded. They were in that hospital for a protracted period of time, and he went to visit them. He went to show compassion upon them and to encourage them. And he went, and they showed him into this the ward where 26 of them were, and he ministered to them, talked to them, thanked them for their service, thanked them for ministering and showed compassion toward them. But he said, "Are there others?" He said, "You said there's 36. He said, "There must be more." They said, "Well, there is another ward, and we'll let you go into that. But we thought we would spare you from that, for these soldiers are much worse than the first that you visited." He said, "No, I want to see them. I have to go and see them." So he goes in and he ministers love to them and compassion and encouragement to them. And he finishes there, and he said, "But you said there's 36. There must be one more." And the nurse said, "Yes, there's one more, but nobody sees this other one. Nobody can go in and visit this other one. But he says, "I want to see this last one. I've got to see this last one. Please, we don't ask to see this last one." He said, "No, I have to." So they let him in the room. It was darkened, and he walked up to the bed, and there was one that was just ravaged by the ugliness of war and just a shell of what remained as a man. And he bowed down, and he kissed that one. Well, there was one that came who bowed to kiss the ugliness of my humanity and your humanity. And his name was Jesus. And he said, "Lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age." Just how much is Jesus a part of your everyday life? How much is Jesus a part of your everyday thoughts, your everyday actions, and everything that you do? That's the question that we ask. Because he said, "Lo, I am with you always," did he not? First point is this: discovering the presence of Jesus. Discovering the presence of Jesus. It was 40 days between from the time of the resurrection to the time of the ascension. He appeared to many, many people. He appeared and he disappeared during that time. He ministered to spoke to people. We don't know that he preached any messages. We don't read that he did any miracles, healed any individuals. At least Scripture doesn't reveal that he did. But he appeared to some, and then he would disappear. And we have to ask the question, what was the purpose? Why did he appear, and why did he disappear with them? The point is that he was always present. And so I would say that he was now with them more after his resurrection than he was when he walked with them and ate with them and ministered with them and spent the 3.5 years, three years with his disciples. Now you say, how can that be? I don't understand that. You know, he was gone and then he would be present. But we're going to discover, and this is the practical aspect of the message. We're going to discover that when Jesus said, "Lo, I am with you always," we're going to discover exactly what that means in a very practical sense. And you can put that into practice every day of your life. They'd seen Jesus endure the cross. They'd seen him beaten. They'd seen him physically ravaged and his flesh just ripped apart. They'd seen that. The one that they loved, the one that never had done anything wrong, they saw him, the sinfulness of man, come against him. When they were with Jesus, they never worried about anything. Pharisees came. Didn't bother the disciples. I mean, they had confidence that Jesus could handle everything. There was never an argument that Jesus couldn't have an answer to. Even when they tried to stone him, he somehow just disappeared because it was not time for him to be crucified. And so he always had everything under control. Can you imagine being around someone like that? Always everything under control. Never a problem. They would have food to eat. They knew when to go. They knew when to come. They knew everything was taken care of. Their life, their whole world had been devastated. What were they to do? And I think the reason why he appeared and disappeared in those 40 days was to teach them that he was with them always. Discovering the presence of Jesus. When we lack the consciousness of Jesus and his presence with us, what happens? The world rushes in. Your work rushes in. The hassles that you go through rushes in. The infirmities that you may have and that you may struggle with, they rush in and they take the place of Jesus. But when we practice his presence, it's a different story. Secondly, understanding the presence of Jesus. Can we always be aware of the presence of Christ? I think so. We can't always be on the mountaintop emotionally. But we can always be aware of the presence of Christ. And what do we mean? What do we mean by being in the presence of Christ? What do we mean by the presence of Christ? We know that Christ is at the right hand of the Father. We know that he makes intercession for us. So if he's there, how can he be here? If he's there, how can he be with us? But his words were, "I'm with you always. Even to the end of the earth, even to the end of the age." So do we have a contradiction here? Not at all, because he's given us his Holy Spirit who lives within us and dwells within us. And I say, "Lord Jesus, I need you today because I'm going to bring your word to Hope Alliance Church, to Hope Church." And so when I went for my walk this morning, that was why, "Lord Jesus, I need your strength for today, because I'm going to bring your word to your people." Okay, now how, if Jesus is at the right hand, God's Holy Spirit lives with us. Every time you speak to Jesus, God's Spirit brings that message to the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's practicing the presence. Now, we're not always up. We're not always on the mountaintop. Man, I tell you what, you know, we struggle. I remember long time ago that I went snow skiing up in Pennsylvania with some guys in the church. These guys, all of them had that were in our group, all of them had been divorced. Some of them had beaten addictions. And it was a good day. We had some powder that had fallen, some snow. The sky was blue, and we were just competing with each other, going down the slopes and skiing. It was just great. Now, back then, there was a beer commercial where guys were sitting around, and there was the saying or whatever. It doesn't get better than this. That may be been before some of your time. It doesn't. So they're sitting around, they're drinking their beer, and they're saying it doesn't get better than this. But when we were on the mountain and we were skiing, we were going down, and it was a beautiful day. And I realized these guys whose hearts had been broken, these guys who had been addicted, these guys who'd struggled in life, you know, we could say it doesn't get better than this because Jesus had done a wonderful work in their life. My son, Kendall, he's out in California in Los Angeles across from SoFi Stadium working on a job. But at Christmas time, he went up to Mount Bachelor, and he sent us pictures. That was in Oregon, like 9,000-some feet. They ski there all winter or all summertime because there's snow. So they were up there. He sent pictures, and, man, it was just absolutely fantastic. It was beautiful. I'm sure that, you know, they were having a great, great time. I can't go back to that day on the slopes. I can't go back there. I can't experience that exactly again. But in my mind, I can go back there. And the other day, I was looking at some our wedding pictures. Some of our wedding pictures. We'll be married 50 years next month. You know, 50 years. Can you imagine that? And so I was looking at those wedding pictures. But you know, I can't go back to that time, but I can remember when Nancy came down the aisle, and I can remember exactly what she looked like, and I can live that experience again. That's what you see. That's what we're talking about. Now, let's talk a little bit in a practical sense. We have an upper consciousness, and we have a lower consciousness. Let me explain that, okay? When I'm walking the dog this morning and taking a walk, I'm walking and paying attention to where I'm going and what the dog is doing, but at the same time, I'm looking at the sky, and it wasn't overcast then. It was beautiful, and I was saying at the same time, Lord, I thank you for all of this. When you're at work, and maybe you're at the keyboard, maybe you're stressed, or your boss is giving you difficulties, or you know, whatever it may be, you're at task, and you're working. Okay, but at the same time, you have the presence of Jesus. At the same time, there's an upper consciousness in which you are doing what you're doing and the task that's at hand. You're working on that. You understand that? But at the same time, you have the presence of Jesus. Doesn't mean you're always on the mountaintop emotionally, but you have the presence, you're practicing the presence of Jesus. You're having a hard time at work, you're going through something, but you say, Lord Jesus, I need your help for this right now. I need your strength. I don't feel like going to work today, you know, but Lord Jesus, I take you for what I need. I take you for my strength. I take you for what I need today. That's practicing the presence of Jesus. Is your life fully in his control? Do you read his word every day? Do you pray? That's practicing the presence of Jesus. Do you speak to him? Lord Jesus, I need you to give me strength for today for the task that's ahead of me. Lord Jesus, I need you for this particular thing that I'm going to do. That's practicing. Lo, I'm with you always, he's saying. And the third thing is this, living in the presence of Jesus. And it's all connected, living in the presence of Jesus. Jesus said, Lo, I'm with you always. It's interesting in the passage because it says, when they saw him, they gathered the 11 together in verse 16. They proceeded to Galilee to the mountain which Jesus designated. And when they saw him, they worshiped him. But some were doubtful. We're not exactly sure who these were, but some were doubtful. Some didn't believe it was Jesus. And Jesus came up and he spoke to them and he said, all authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Then he gives that great commission, go into all the world, make nations, make disciples of every nation and every people, teaching them to observe all that I commanded you. And lo, what does that word lo mean? It means be assured. Sure enough. Lo, be assured. I am with you always. Remember back at the message when I asked, did Jesus appear and disappear during the 40 years, during the 40 days, excuse me, and what was the purpose of it? The purpose of it was not to do miracles, not to teach, but the purpose of that was to teach them that he was with them always. That was the purpose. Why didn't he just resurrect and then, you know, maybe just appear one time before his ascension? Why it says that he appeared to 500 at more at one time? Not to teach, not to do miracles. We don't know that he didn't, but God's word doesn't tell us that he did. So we have to assume and we have to ask the question, why did he appear and then disappear? And did he know what they were talking about? And did he know what they were doing when he was not present with them, when he had disappeared? The answer is yes. Let's look at John chapter 20. John chapter 20. Familiar passage, verse 24. John chapter 20. And you can imagine what this is about. Thomas. John 20, verse 24. But Thomas, one of the 12, called Didymus, was not with them when Jesus came. So the disciples, other disciples, were saying to him, we have seen the Lord. But he said to them, unless I see in his hands the imprint of the nails and put my finger into the place of the nails and put my hand into his side, I will not believe. After 8 days, his disciples were again inside. Thomas was with them. And Jesus came, the doors having been shut. Man, that would have been something, huh? I mean, you're all there and you're scared and you're hiding and all of a sudden, Jesus is right there in front of you. And the doors being shut. Then he said to Thomas, reach here with your finger. And see my hands, and reach here. Put your hand into my side, and do not be unbelieving, but believing. And we all know this, Thomas answered, and he said, my Lord and my God. Now, how did Jesus know that he was doubting? How did Jesus know that he said, unless I see his hands and put my finger in the nail prints and put my hand in his side, I'll not believe. Jesus wasn't visibly present then, was he? He wasn't. But then he appeared 8 days later, and then he said to Thomas, hey, Thomas, put your hand here. Put your hand here. Because he had been with them always. Brother and sister in Christ, whatever you face, whatever you go through, whatever the challenges, you live in the presence of Jesus. You have to live in the presence. It's a practical thing. You talk to Jesus. Lord Jesus, I take you for this. I take your strength for my strength, for my weakness. I take your strength for my weakness. Our youngest son was surfing out here near the jetty, somewhere at the coast right here near Jacksonville. And there were a lot of bait fish and stuff jumping around. And he got near the jetties and the rocks. I'm not sure exactly where it was. But when he thought he was going to be cast upon the rocks and he was coming close there, this shark came up right next to him. And he said, "Jesus, help me." And he was able to get out of that situation. When I was preparing for this message, I was lying in bed, and I hadn't really realized, in 40-some years of ministry, I knew that Jesus said, "Lo, I am with you always." But then it just came alive to me, and I know I'd practiced that when we had, you know, I had physical needs and emotional needs and needs in the church and needs as a pastor, but it just really came alive. "Lo, I am with you always." And it says, "All power has been given to me. All authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth." So what does that mean? No matter what happens in this miserable, war-torn world and all that we're going with through, Jesus has authority over all of it. Jesus has the last word, and Jesus has to have the first word in your life. And you have to say, "Lord Jesus, I take you for all that I have." I love that song by Ann Wilson. "Let Me Tell You About My Jesus." He makes no a way when there is no way, you know. And it speaks of that. That's what we're talking about. Years ago, there was a hymn that we used to sing. We don't sing it anymore. And most of you probably don't even know this. It was written by A.B. Simpson. And it's called "I Take, He Undertakes." Sounds like something like a funeral thing or something. But it says, "I clasp the hand of love divine. I claim the gracious promise mine. And this eternal countersign I take, he undertakes." There's six verses in this song, okay? "I take salvation full and free through him who gave his life for me. He undertakes my all to be. I take, he undertakes. I take him as my holiness, my spirit spotless, heavenly dress. I take the Lord my righteousness. I take, he undertakes. I take the promised Holy Ghost. I take the power of Pentecost to fill me to the uttermost. I take, he undertakes. I take him for my mortal frame. I take my healing through his name. And all his risen life I claim, I take, he undertakes." Verse 6, "I simply take him at his word. I praise him that my prayer is heard. I claim my answer from the Lord. I take, he undertakes. Lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the world." That's powerful. All authority. Your boss doesn't have authority. The president doesn't have authority. This world doesn't have authority. Jesus, in the end, has authority. And we speak to him. We verbalize, and God's Holy Spirit brings that message to the Lord Jesus. A.B. Simpson was dying as a young man of a heart condition. And back then, in the 1800s, there was nothing that they could do for him. They didn't have the medical science that they had today. And the doctor said, "You have to quit ministry. You're going to die." And he went to a camp called Old Orchard, Maine. And he went out in the woods and he found God's healing. And now we know, you know, Christ as our Savior, our Sanctifier, our Healer, and our Coming King. What's all that about? What's that about? It's just about the words, "Lo, I am with you always." For your emotional health, for your physical health, for every need that you have, for spiritually. "Lo, I am with you always, even throughout your whole life until I come again." Lord Jesus, I thank you. I pray that in a very practical way, Lord God, that you would minister to the hearts of your children and your people. I pray, Lord God, that those who are going through difficulties and when they sit at the computer station at work and they're frustrated or they're having a difficult day, Lord Jesus, I take you for my strength. I take you for my mental ability. I take you for my emotional stability. I take you for every need that I have. For Lord Jesus, you are sufficient. And we'll thank you, Lord God, for this very practical message and lesson from your word that you teach us. And I pray that each one would take and apply what we have in your word. And Lord, we know that from the time you rose to the time you're coming again, that we await your coming again. Lord, your words and your promise in the last part of Matthew 28 are still present and relevant for us today. And we thank you for it, Father God, in Jesus' name, amen.